Welcome back into another edition of College Golf Talk. Burko and Brentley with you. We are officially in the February. So now we're off and running, Brentley, right? 3 months and change to get the La Costa. We're starting to see the schedules for the men and women get big time, a bit robust early in the spring part of the season. We're going to have Shauna Taylor, the Arkansas women's coach, joining us in just a bit, fresh off another win. But now we're starting, at least I am, to have multiple tabs open of who's doing what. Give me the recap. I love through 25 plus years of all the SID emails. You know, there are times they're tedious because you'll get the update on sports you have no big investment in. But I love getting those in the inbox. To get a sense of
mailbox, you know, 25 years ago, Burko, that was a mailbox that they were mailing it.
Correct.
To.
Well, I'm old. But you get quotes from the coaches, the little things you don't think about of like, gosh, how did that happen? Oh, well, it was blowing 35. We wouldn't know that, you know, from afar. So kind of jazzed to really get moving here in the coming weeks and months.
And we're going to have a PGA Tour card likely to be handed out on Friday night to a young Luke Clanton, too. I'm getting the balloons ready. We got a party going on. So that's something certainly to keep an eye on as we, you know, get closer to the end of the week.
All he has to do is make the cut, correct?
That's it. It sounds harder than maybe it is. I think he'll make the cut.
And I also got an email, or maybe I saw it on Twitter, I forget, that he will also, Luke Clanton, be at Valspar next month. So he's in the, and we were talking about this last week, get it done sooner rather than later. You can't do anything until the first week of June. But it is kind of ground shattering, you know, to do this. I mean, Gordon's got his 20. We'll talk about Gordon Sargent from Vandy a little bit later, but this has gone from 0 to 60 pretty quickly for Luke Clanton.
Oh, yeah, and he was in Valspar via the collegiate win last year. Correct. I don't think that overlaps with a college event, so good on him. Cognizant does overlaps with Cabo. It'll be interesting to see if he gets there. But if he gets his 20, Burko, he's only going to play, I think, in tournaments that don't conflict. He was talking about it earlier this week, how he's kind of treating this as a rookie season before the rookie season. But I do think deep down, he really wants to win a national championship, and you know that will be top of mind once we get through this 20 points.
We'll get to that a little bit later. We mentioned Shauna Taylor, Arkansas women's golf coach, going to join us, so we're going to bring her right in, fresh off the trip home to Arkansas from Puerto Rico. Does so with the fourth win of the season, 13 shots clear of Ole Miss, a really good field, Shauna, that included Vanderbilt, Michigan State, Northwestern, LSU, and Auburn. Congratulations. We really appreciate you taking some time joining us this week on College Golf Talk. What is it about this group that continues to perform each and every time out for you?
First and foremost, thanks for having me this morning. It's great to start the season off in Puerto Rico. But you know what? This has been really, I know it's cliche and all of us coaches may say this, but this is a really great group. Their chemistry is awesome. They love each other. They help each other. They lift each other up. And, you know, when somebody's having a not so good day on the golf course, they tend to fill the gaps. And just really maybe – in 21 years, maybe one of my best teams I've ever had across the board, and you know, in the locker room and at practice and on the golf course and competition, it's really special.
You mentioned that. That's my follow-up question. We don't know what will happen in the next 3 months, but how is this group different? You referenced the chemistry and the camaraderie, but why do you think this might be a little bit different than what you've had for 2+ decades?
I was actually thinking about that when we were at dinner the other night in Puerto Rico. And, you know, this day and age, a lot of the kids are on their phones at the dinner table and stuff, but they were laughing and asking each other funny questions, and they were just really engaging each other. And, you know, that's little things like that, I think, are huge. They are really connected. They care. You know, it's just, I don't know. you know, whether we do well in May or not, this is an awesome group of young women that love the game. They love to practice. They want to do more. All of those things that you kind of long for as a coach.
Shauna, now your team is obviously super deep, but they always say like you can only go as so far as your number one, and you have the number one player in all of college golf right now, in Maria Jose Marin. What makes her so special? I've seen the wear patterns on her irons, but how is she different than most other players in college golf, if not all of them?
I think more than anything, she hits it really where she's looking. And we do shot dispersion test, and hers is by far the best one I've ever seen. It is tight. She doesn't miss it offline. When she gets in trouble, she gets greedy. She goes at hole locations that are, you know, 4 or 5 off the left, and she, you know, hits it 6 yards left and she's in the bunker. But she, her ball hitting is really superior. Her dad has been a great influence on her with, you know, making sure that she sticks to, I mean, she has a pretty unorthodox golf swing. I mean, it's very unique, but it is efficient. It has, you know, she has length. She hits it where she's looking and she practices her butt off.
Who surprised you the most further down the lineup? Like, who is the maybe quote unquote X factor for the Arkansas Razorbacks so far?
When I think about it, I immediately go to Clarissa Tomello. I mean, a freshman from Mexico. Obviously, we've had a lot of success with kids from Mexico on our team. And I knew Clarissa was a good player. She takes from Gabby Lopez's teacher, Horatio. And I knew she was going to be solid for us, but she has been relentless in her achievements. I mean, she's unbelievable freshman start. She's a 4-0 in the classroom. She pretty much counted every single round in the fall. She shoots 66 the last day in Puerto Rico. I mean, you can't ask for much more from a freshman than that. So she's been super huge for us. I mean, you look at Kendall Todd. I mean, she's moved into the top 50 in the world, got her first invite to Augusta. I mean, she's just been incredibly consistent for us. And I know I'm kind of going down my lineup, but, you know, hey, I also have to give kudos to Reagan Zabilski. I mean, she won her first college event in the fall. She stepped up big for us. And, you know, those four kids have been just huge in our success so far.
Speaking of that success, how does this group, you as the coach, keep them wanting more, to not be content? Because we all know it. They're 18 to 22-year-olds. It's easy to look at rankings, read the headlines. How do you pump them up for what they're achieving, but kind of keep them honest that you haven't done what you want to do, you know, in a college golf season?
We're just continuing to have honest conversations. I mean, let's face it, we're doing really well, but I expect us to have some road bumps along the way too. And we keep a very open communication in our locker room about that and how we're feeling about it. And if we're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, and what can we do as a group to help each other, you know, get through that. And we talk, I know this is something that we talk about in our locker room, is be a lighthouse for each other. You know, it's easy to shine your light when it's beautiful outside and people are looking at you, but what are you going to do when it gets stormy and the waters get rough? And are you going to keep shining your light, or are you going to, you know, go away? And that's the challenge that I've made to them, is to continue to be a lighthouse for each other. And we as a staff will do the same for them. And we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and care for each other and stay healthy and all of those things to get us through the best part of the season.
In a bigger picture sense, you were a standout at Georgia. You've had so much success as a college golf coach. What's been your biggest challenge? We're now in 2025, from the portal to NIL to so many things we never would have dreamed about having a discuss 5, 10, 15 years ago?
I think it's, you know, as we get older, we tend to want to stay in our own way, in our own old ways of doing things. And I've really tried to make sure that we've pivoted when we need to pivot, you know, make some changes when we need to make some changes, meet the new world as we see it, learn about it. I've made a lot of phone calls to get educated on, you know, what's best, but nothing will change for us in the fact that we want young women to come to school here that want to play golf for Arkansas, that want to get better, that care about, you know, being elite in golf school and community, and we will stick by that. Whether we get the transfer portal or NIL or whatever it is, we'll try and make the greatest group of young women that we can each and every year.
I feel like the Arkansas program has been a little bit of a Santana song. Maria, Maria, like if you're named Maria and you play at Arkansas, chances are you've had some success. But I was reading your bio, Shauna, and Maria Fossey is listed maybe halfway down, and it says that she is, I guess, the best example of how you develop players. Why do you think that's written in there?
I think when Maria Fossey came to school, she was the kind of player that just ripped it and went at every flag stick. She comes from a very elite performing family. And so when she got here, we just really helped her play a more well-rounded game. We helped her with wedges. We helped her, you know, create some good chemistry in the locker room. And it's just, I know people expected her to do what she did here, but she grew a lot too as a person and her independence and just maturing. And I think that's, something that we do really well here.
Does this current team, do they have a chip on their shoulder at all, you think? I look back at some of your better teams, 2019. It felt like you guys play the best when maybe other people are counting you out a little bit.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's, you know, it's part of who we are. You know, I've been here 21 years and I don't know that people think that we're a powerhouse golf school for women's golf, but I do. And that's the mentality that we have in our locker room. That's the mentality we take to recruiting. And I think we are an excellent women's golf team that has an opportunity each and every year to be excellent and great and have a chance to make a championship run.
I had one more quick one too before we go, Berko. Shauna, what's Fayetteville? We were all there in 2019. Some great underrated food scene in Fayetteville. What's your favorite out of all the top places around you?
Well, I would get in trouble if I didn't say Herman's Rib House. They now have a coach's menu. So when you go in, you can get the Coach Shauna or the Coach Cal or the Coach Pittman. So they
what's the Coach Shauna?
The Coach Shauna is a 6-ounce filet with two sides of garlic chicken tenders and Texas toast and a salad. And it's my go-to meal and it's very shareable and good. So check it out when you come back to town. But yeah, it's just, they're huge Razorback fans. You walk in, they call the hogs. It's a really special place and it's been here for a very long time. And I think us coaches have made it our kind of our staple when we go out to dinner.
I love that. And I'm going to go back maybe 2 years ago when we were doing the Blessings Collegiate Invitational and John Tyson was kind enough to invite me and our producer, Brant Packer at the time, to dinner. And it was about a mile or two straight down that road out the golf course to, he said, his favorite Mexican restaurant. It looked like you parked your car in a gas station and you're like, where are we going? And we met him there and then we left 90 minutes later. I'm like, yes, that might have been some of the best Mexican food I've ever had.
It is. It's Media Luna and it's in the back of a gas station to the left. And it's behind a car wash. So you can get a, you know, full service while you're getting dinner, but it is excellent too. We do eat there quite a bit. And yeah, Mr. Tyson, that's one of his favorites along with Herman's. And we have some good spots to have some dinner around here.
Certainly do. Shauna Taylor, appreciate you taking some time joining us this week on College Golf Talk. Great job to you and the team. Keep it going and hope this run can pay some big time dividends for the Razorbacks come May.
Yes, thank you guys. I appreciate you so much.
Likewise, Shauna Taylor, the women's golf coach at Arkansas. Brentley, it's amazing when she said she's been there 21 years. I mean, she could play at Georgia. She was phenomenal.
Four-time All-American.
Yeah, and I love the approach of you asked her, yeah, give us a chip. People don't think we have something here. They've got something there. So it really comes full circle when there are players that I covered that are now two decades in as head coaches. It's kind of It's kind of neat to see, and I'm intrigued because I feel like we've seen some great Arkansas falls that maybe haven't necessarily continued what we thought we might see in the spring. I get a sense this one could be a little different.
Yeah, and she mentioned some of the players, like Clarissa Tomello, the freshman, kind of came out of not nowhere, but certainly you don't expect every freshman that you recruit to have four top 10s. Corey Lopez was another player that she didn't mention who had missed, gosh, almost the better part of two straight seasons with a pretty serious injury. She's back. She's been in the lineup now a few times. So when you can stack that depth but behind Maria and behind Kendall Todd, who's become, you know, a first, second team All-American type player, they have the pieces, I think, to win it all. And it's funny, you know, like we've alluded to so often, it seems like we've always kind of treaded lightly with maybe our predictions on Arkansas because they stack points by playing the Blessings, and you know, they get hot in the fall. They're usually not around, you know, come late NCAA championship time. So I really do feel like I'm with you. I feel like this is the year that they make a run, and there's so many great teams behind Stanford. Arkansas is just as good as every bit of them. She mentioned that she has her own dinner or own menu item, Berko.
Yeah, you're big time when you get that.
What would be your, because I was thinking about it, what would be your menu item? What would be the burger?
Well, and it's intriguing because it's like, what are we, you know, are we going meat? Are we going Italian? But let's go on that narrative. I'm all in on the coach, Shauna. Filet is the only steak I'll eat. So I'd probably go more like a 10-ouncer, not a 6-ouncer, with some béarnaise sauce, maybe instead of the grilled chicken. How about some shrimp and the salad? So I'm kind of in on the coach, Shauna, and I'm thinking next time we're in Arkansas, we might have to head over to, what was it, Herman's,
yeah.
and take a bite. So I'm completely good with the filet, just I want bigger than 6 ounces.
I give me a nice chicken parm with some spaghetti, Caesar salad, and that's all you need. And for dessert, gosh, really can't go wrong with a really good carrot cake. So,
oh, and the carrot cake, the seldom heard carrot cake. All right,
the Romine. That's the Romine.
All right. I'm intrigued. But a lot of other good events also wrapping up over the past few days for the ladies. The Therese Hession Regional Challenge, USC beating Oregon by 5, Texas, South Carolina, Florida, rounding out those top 5 teams on the leaderboard. Kerry Hollenbaugh from Ohio State continuing her good play. She wins the medalist honors. Maybe a bit of a struggle for some others. ASU, Arizona State, 7th. UCLA and Arizona tied for 11th. USC's really good. Not that we didn't know that a week ago or last fall, but Jasmine Koo, always there. We know what Catherine Park can do. If they could get a little more consistency from Bailey Shoemaker, they're right there. And again, it's February. We might change in March. But Justin Silverstein, I think in his short time as a head coach there, what are we looking at, 5, 6, 7 years, they haven't missed a beat. This, I get a feeling over the last 2 years, is the Women of Troy team that we got so accustomed to seeing, a program that won 3 national titles in 2003, in 2008, and in 2013. They're really good.
Yeah. And if Cindy Coe's going to finish 3rd on the leaderboard for the squad, I mean, this is a player who people forget, when Rose Zhang came out as a freshman, Cindy Coe was the 2nd ranked player in college golf after that first semester, right behind Rose. And then she was every bit, I don't want to say every bit as good as Rose, because nobody was, but she was the closest out of that class, I think, to Rose's talent ability. And for whatever reason, she tore apart her swing, lost it, and she struggled to get it back. But she's shown glimpses over the last season and a half. If she can be consistent like this and finish 3rd for the Trojans, I don't know if you even need, you know, that 68 out of Bailey Shoemaker. I mean, they're locked and loaded, a little lean which we mentioned, you know, teams like Arizona State maybe a bit concerning if there's an injury or someone loses their game late in the spring. You really don't have someone to slot in there. But to beat South Carolina, to beat some of these teams in this event, I mean, this is just a further confidence boost for a team that knows they're going to be around here in a few months.
Yeah, right now they're probably the USC that's trending a little bit more, and that's taking nothing away from the Lady Gamecocks. They're really good too. But also a squad we sort of referenced with Arkansas that they've had speed bumps in the spring. It's a different team. You've got some players, some new faces. It will be intriguing to see maybe which one of these USC teams can get a little bit closer, you know, to feeling like they can beat Stanford if that moment presents itself.
They didn't have a single top 10. I'm talking about your chickens. Hannah Darling was the lead finisher at T13. Ella Galitsky, T34 in her first college golf tournament. That's not the type of rush you want to see coming out of the gates, but I think they're a little deeper than the Lady Trojans are. But as far as if you're stacking them and comparing them 1v1, USC has probably got the best three players, you know, 1 through 3.
Yeah, right now, I think for the Gamecocks to have a ton of success, even more than they've had, Hannah Darling needs to become like Jasmine Koo, a consistent each and every time you're there, you're contending to win medalist honors. So it'll be fun to watch that play out. There was also the Collegiate Invitational at Guadalajara, Florida State, a 6-shot win over TCU, Virginia, Houston, NC State, rounding out the top 5. Mirabel Ting, Lottie Wode, 1-2 for the Seminoles. Mirabel Ting has not lost to a single player in college golf this season. She won her first two in the fall, missed the last two. She was back home playing in a couple of professional events. I am quickly becoming an enormous fan of Mirabel Ting beyond the golf. Her journey to get here, her father passing a few years ago, the man that taught her the game. She's growing up in front of our eyes, and I'll be reactionary here. There is no better 1-2 punch in the country right now than the folks in Florida State.
Oh, yeah. And Lottie Wode's only lost to three players not named Mirabel Ting this season, too. So, and she's played, I think she has 5 starts now compared to Mirabel's 3, because Mirabel missed a couple to go play the LPG event in Malaysia, which she finished T13 there. So, again, like the thing that impresses me most about Mirabel is she's not a very tall girl, but she hits the crap out of the ball. I mean, she's the longest player on that team. She's one of the longest players in college golf, at least among, you know,
the big
high yeah. elite players. Yeah, she's surprising. I think she steps on the tee box and maybe some people discredit her a little bit, but as soon as they see her play a hole, they know that she's for real, and she's starting to gain that belief. And it's hard to win anywhere, but if you can win these high level college golf tournaments, you're going to be successful at the next level.
Yeah, for Florida State, it's going to be the newcomers, the 3 or 4 freshmen that kick things off in September. Can they fill in the gaps at 3, 4, 5 on a consistent basis? But I know Amy Bond, the head coach there, does not need to worry about her top 2. PDI Intercollegiate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you hear about their trophy, Burka?
No. Well, there's nothing. I'm not sure there's anything better than the helmet.
The helmet?
Folds of Honor.
The great part about the helmet is that it's still intact. So their trophy is, I don't know what it's made out of, but it's some sort of colorful craft. Like it was definitely made, like it would be something you would buy in a market. And apparently, like, the heat coming back from the tournament kind of melted it a little bit. So Amy has to be real careful with it, because you know, you don't want to lose a trophy, you know, like you want to keep those and put those on display. Just got to make sure the AC's on inside the golf house to display it.
Yeah, that's maybe the first I've heard of a trophy melting just a little bit. due to the heat. The PDI Intercollegiate Baylor, a two-shot win over Duke at Eagle Creek. North Carolina, Mississippi State, UCF following those top two programs. That's a nice win for Jay Goble's team. Duke, I mean, the scores were really good. I mean, you take a look at it and you see 68, 69, 70. I mean, I feel like
it's a par 73 there too, Burka, at Eagle Creek.
Those two teams, I feel, are like right in that middle pack, if you will, 8 through 15, maybe even down to 20. I'm not caught up with the number necessarily right by them. But if we've learned anything from Jay Goble as a head coach at Baylor over the last decade, boy, he gets a lot out of what he has. So those are two programs that have played for national titles that have won, obviously Duke with 7. What can they do? What can they build on in the coming weeks and months to feel like they can make match play and potentially cause some noise at La Costa?
Yeah, and I feel like going further down this leaderboard, Kansas is 6th, but I think it's a bit of a confidence builder, at least in a sense of Lauren Clark, who was one of those seniors we talked about on last week's pod, needing to get it going. She wins the tournament. So she's proven that she can come back. Now everyone's just got to get settled a little bit, and they'll be fine. I think they make the NCAA championship.
From the women to the men out of Pepperdine's event, the Southwestern Invitational. What a late charge by the Texas Longhorns, playing the last 5 and 3 under to beat San Diego State by a shot. And, you know, I think it was going into that last day, you're like, whoa, could UNLV sort of surprise the world? They struggled on that final day. Good programs like Texas step up. Justin Hastings right in the mix, coming off the win in Argentina at the Latin America Amateur Championship. And then Daniel Bennett tied for 2nd. I know you're intrigued by what this young man could be, where his rankings are. I mean, a lot of moving parts for Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, it feels like John Fields has always tried to grab the best player out of South Africa, whether you go back to Dylan Fratelli or Brandon Stone. And now Daniel Bennett, Christian Moss, who's on the team now, and now Daniel Bennett's kind of that next in line. And I'm really curious, like I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into his story, but, you know, basically moved from South Africa to Vancouver, some tragic events forced the family back to South Africa. He had to really get his grades together. His game kind of tailed off a little bit late in high school. And I mean, he arrives in Austin and they need him right away, and he stepped up. I do find it funny that he finishes 2nd for the 2nd straight tournament and he drops from 1 to 4 in the rankings. But we've talked about that. His divisor's low. You're going to have some volatility with that. But I think now people are finally starting to realize that this kid isn't just a flash in the pan or has gotten lucky early on. He's someone who can slot right in there behind Tommy Morrison, Christian Moss. Luke Potter's had a little bit of a resurgence now in his first year with Texas. This is an intriguing team. This is a team who you probably stack right behind, you know, your Auburns and your Ole Misses and Arizona State. So probably right around that 5th to 6th range. Is where I have him right now in the power rankings.
Vanderbilt finishes 3rd. Wells Williams, the Commodore, wins for the 2nd time in his college career. Gordon Sargent tied for 63rd. You posed this, and I feel like a lot of times we're not going after Gordon Sargent. Here's a guy that has his tour card, could have left, won NCAAs as a freshman. So it's not let's get after Gordon Sargent again, but you threw out the notion of how far do they go if Sargent doesn't return to some type of form. I don't think very far, plain and simple, because of what you just said with Shauna Taylor earlier. The great teams most of the time are led by a superstar. It's not a knock on Wells Williams or Jackson Van Paris. Brentley, 3 years ago and even 2 years ago, we're like, Gordon Sargent is trending as one of the great college players we've seen in the last 5, 10, 15 years. It's going the wrong way. I can't sugarcoat it. I say it respectfully. Things are from the outside in, are amiss when we look at the results.
It just goes to show how quickly this game can kind of get away from you. And when you don't have the confidence in where the ball is going and you can't control your speed and then the putts aren't falling, I mean, this could be a really lonely game. And I think Gordon is starting to figure that out. I mean, he's had all these expectations and he's had to carry them for so long that I think he's lost a little bit of the joy that maybe he had when he first got to Vanderbilt. And he's got to figure it out. I think some of this is on himself, but I think some of it is also on Coach Scott Limbaugh. I mean, this is your number one guy, one of the best players you've ever coached. You got to keep pushing buttons as fast as you can to try to get this team to where it needs to go. And they had such heartbreak last year when you felt like that was the team that needed to do it. Now they have a bunch of inexperienced faces at the back end of that lineup. If Gordon Sargent doesn't get it back, you could easily see them not get to the NCAA championship, which would be the first time, I think, since 2014, maybe, that Vanderbilt has not made nationals. They've made match plays so many times. But Jackson Van Paris, Wells Williams, they can't do it alone. They're going to need their first in command, Gordon Sargent, to lead the way.
NIT, BYU, a 14-shot win over Arizona. The Wildcats continuing to slide a bit in the post-Tiger Christensen era. We'll see if the next 3 months they, I don't want to say replace them because you can't replace them, but find somebody that can fill the void, on a manageable basis. The CBS, Texas A&M, a 7-shot win over Florida Gulf Coast University, and for FGCU, right there on the bubble again.
The bubble 67. Boys, 67.
This is a very common place for them.
I think talking to their head coach, Andrew Dana, he doesn't love living on the bubble, but he's gotten used to it. I mean, they were the first team out, 3 years ago now, back in 21. They snuck in the next season. Last year, they were the second team out. So if Joe Lunardi did bracketology for college golf, like, he would just leave FGCU as first team out the entire season, because okay, you know that's where they're going to be.
Couple of good ones on tap on this Thursday as we tape College Golf Talk for the week. Heavy hitters in Hawaii, Arizona State, Auburn, Texas among the standouts. Auburn without Brendan Valdez, surgery. Josiah Gilbert didn't qualify. Speaks to the depth, but those are two pretty key components for head coach Nick Kleiner.
Yeah, they haven't played yet, so we'll see if the depth actually shows up for the Tigers. But it seems like Brendan Valdez is going to be back by the end of this month at the latest. As we saw during the fall, he had his right wrist taped a little bit, so. Minor surgery from what Nick was saying, didn't want to go into too many details, but with Josiah Gilbert, again, like, this game can go away quickly, and he has not played well these last few weeks, didn't qualify. Auburn's a place where you have to earn it each and every day. There's not a lot of coaches' picks that go around, and he's not one of the six guys traveling out to Hawaii, which, if there's any sort of motivation, Burko, it's being stuck at home while your teammates and coaches are in Hawaii. There's nothing worse, and we'll see how he responds to it.
Puerto Rico Classic, that gets going next Monday for the men. Top-ranked Ole Miss in action. So when we return next week, we'll recap those and continue to spin it forward. But our thanks to Shauna Taylor for joining us this week on College Golf Talk. A parting shot for you, because I'm going to stay in the college lane, but we got college hoops coming Sunday.
Hi, who you man. Got? You,
I Who's got tipping? George Washington at St. Bonaventure, an A-10 showdown, Sunday noon, USA Network with Tim McCormick. So while everyone is pumped about 638 and Super Bowl, what is it, 58, 59, we're going to set the tone from Western New York for the day in sports. Looking forward to that. I've had some wonderful opportunities afforded to me calling college hoops, and I've got three games in the next couple of weeks. So absolutely excited to be a part of it on our NBC Sports networks.
Hopefully that game doesn't go like quadruple overtime and you miss the kickoff.
Well, I've got a 5:05 out of Buffalo. It's about an hour drive, weather permitting. So no, that needs to be a hard out at 2:00 something. But looking forward to that. We will be back yet again next week for another edition of College Golf Talk. Our thanks once again to Shauna Taylor for joining us. And for Brentley, I'm Burko. We will see you next week. We'll